It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. It's a wonderful opportunity we have to study the Word of God. So please open your Bibles to John chapter 3, and we're going to begin once again with that. We kind of went to an introduction last time we were together, but we're going to continue that today. John chapter 3, verse 1. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to visit our website, you could look at us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Again, that was www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Again, John chapter 3, we'll begin reading with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What a wonderful scripture verse. Let's begin with prayer now. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and enjoy this time. It's just such a privilege to study your word, and I just ask for your strength and for your power, dear Lord, please. It is an honor, dear Lord, to be able to enjoy your precious word. So please, today, that you'll just guide and lead us through it. It is so important that it is through your leadership and not through something that we ourselves try to do. And so please, we want the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Dear Father, we want you to touch the heart through your Spirit, the heart of the lost, that they will be like Nicodemus. They were interested. They were looking. And I just ask today that folks will listen and will come by faith to you and be saved and then begin this wonderful walk each and every day as we come together. So it's so important, dear Lord, that you will see our, that we see our need and that you answer that need, whether it be to save us from our sin or to just help us to grow each and every day and to live and to have wisdom and knowledge and joy and peace. You give it all to us, dear Lord, if we will but trust in you as our Savior and begin that wonderful walk. So please guide and lead us now as we study this precious part of your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, in just a little bit of review, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a member of the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus was a very, very religious man. It says there was a man of the Pharisees. That word there could be turned to be the word but. but there was a man, and it ties us in. It's just as if the conversation continues. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And he was at Jerusalem at the Passover feast. It was during this time, and so it was not another day. It was the same day, same time, just an evening, you might say. And so, but there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. There was quite a testimony here that we have of this man of the way Nicodemus looked at Jesus. He saw some things in Jesus that was beyond the normal man. And so Nicodemus, in his own right, would hold what we would call a master's degree, or maybe a doctorate degree, in religion, the religion of Israel, of the Jews. He was a very respected man. Again, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee. We have the Sadducees and the Pharisees, but he was a Pharisee. He believed in the resurrection. And Nicodemus had a very accepting, a very receptive heart. And that's what it takes, my friend. When you're listening to these scripture verses today, it takes a heart that is listening, that is willing to listen. So often today, the hearts are cold, and they do not respond. They do not listen. And when we are of that position and that place, my friend, there is nothing that God can do. And you say, "Well, God can do anything." Well, yes, he can, but he has designed in his means of salvation. He has put it into place that he puts everything before you, that no man is too poor, or no man is too rich, or no man of a certain nationality or a certain color, that they are exempt. No man is exempt. Everyone is able to come. But you need to come, and you need to trust in Jesus as your Savior. Jesus has taken care of all that work. But what he has left unto us, and that is for us to come. He calls, he invites, but we have to say yes or no. If a friend of yours or a family member of yours gets on the phone this afternoon and they give you a phone call, they give you a ring, and they says, I'd like to go out for supper with you tonight. Is that something that you could do? And you have an opportunity right there to say yes or say no. Says, no, I just can't do it this evening. Maybe I could do it another time, but not this evening. Or, yes, that would be just wonderful. And then you would begin to make plans of what you're going to wear, and you discuss what time you're going to leave, where you're going to eat. All those things will be taken care of. Well, when it comes to our relationship with God, he does everything except that gift. It is given to us. The invitation is there to come and dine, just like you would go to a restaurant with a friend. But that invitation is there. And so it's just like, my friend, today, right now, you're getting a phone call, and that phone call's from God. And those words that we're looking at here, when it says you must be born again, those words are very clear. And I hope that you listen to the call. Listen to the call. Just like when somebody rings you up on the phone, whether it's your cell phone or another phone or something or other, and you take that phone, or you go to the computer and you go to an email, and they said, you know, please, would you do this? And you respond. You respond to that. Well, you see, it's the same thing in our relationship with Christ. We have to respond. We can't just accept the fact that we have been born into a church, that we've followed the baptism, our parents were in that church, and we have always been in that church, we've worked in that church, all those things. That's not good enough. What is good enough is that you say yes when Jesus calls. Now, Jesus calls. You can hear through the Spirit that call, and you have to say yes. And that begins a wonderful personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. A relationship that would be just like your best friend, someone that you have invited you to dinner, have invited you over to their home. You have been invited to enjoy their presence and what they have to give you. You have that opportunity. Well, you have that same opportunity with Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary, Golgotha, that you can come. He died on that cross so that you can come. He died on the cross. He took your sins away. That allows you to come. He died on the cross. He took your sins away. He was buried in that old grave, that old tomb, and he stayed there for 3 days, and then he came out alive. So we serve a living God. The invitation's coming. The call has come. And so please that you listen. Now, that's what's happened here because, you see, Nicodemus is coming. He has a heart that is listening. And I hope today that you have a heart that's listening. And I hope you have a heart to listen to the truth. There are lies out there everywhere. But I have the Word of God before me, and it's the only truth that I have. And I hope that you have and possess that truth and stand with that truth. And so please that you trust in Jesus today. Nicodemus had a heart that was listening, and I hope you do today. Your head, yes, you have to respond, but your head's gotten you in trouble all along. We got to get down to that deep old heart. We got to get down to that soul of yours and begin to deal with that. And I hope that you hear the call today. We find that Nicodemus makes some statements here about our Lord, Rabbi, which means teacher. We know, doesn't say I think or I suggest or maybe, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles. So you see, what miracles that the Lord Jesus was performing, what miracles he was performing was tremendous. It was so clear that no other man could do that. No man could perform these miracles. It just couldn't be done. And so it had to be from God. I mean, they couldn't think that he was God, but he was directly from God. There was no question in his mind about that. He had witnessed enough miracles that he knew there was something very, very special about this man. And he came to see. He came by night. A lot of discussion about that. Was it because he had a fear of the Jews, of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Was he fearful of them finding out, the rest of the council, that they would find out that he was interested, that he was beginning to listen to this man, this Galilean? What was the question? What was the problem? We don't really know. Maybe it was just that Nicodemus was very, very busy, and this was the first opportunity he had to come. Whether it was for fear of the Jews, and I believe that's probably the case, or that he was just very, very busy and got this opportunity now to come. And so now that he has arrived, he has come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us, the same came to Jesus by night, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know. He doesn't say, I know. He says, we know. That's what he tells. That's what he says. We know. So you see, my friend, that there were more within the Sanhedrin or the circle that Nicodemus ran with that had that same question. They wondered. They saw, too, they saw these miracles, and they were such miracles that it had to be from heaven, sent from God, had to be, because no man, regular man, could do these things. And so it is more than just Nicodemus coming. Why didn't they come with him? Maybe they couldn't get their schedule worked out, or maybe they were too afraid, and Nicodemus wasn't. Many a person comes by faith to Jesus. Many a person decides for whatever reason, fear of the world, fear of losing control, I don't know, whatever the reason, many refuse to come. When the call comes, they don't answer the phone. They don't answer the call. You need to answer the call. And I hope that you do today. These miracles are wonderful. And that's the first response here, and it's not really a question that Nicodemus has. It's more of a statement. And so we're going to continue with that. The same came by to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now that's the statement, and not really a question. It's a statement. It's a truth that Nicodemus has witnessed. But look at the answer that Jesus gives. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And when he says, verily, verily, it is listen up. This is a very, very important statement. You listen, listen, listen to what I have to say. And I beg you to do the same thing today. I beg you to listen. I need you to listen to the Word of God. I need you to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ as He calls you. I'm afraid that so many people that are faithful listeners to this program are just that. They're just listening. They're not responding to the call. And I don't want that. God wants you born again. He wants you to accept Jesus Christ as His Savior. Please do that today. Please accept Him today. And then tell someone that you've done that. Tell someone. Tell me. Let me know. Sit down and write a letter. Let me know how long that you have listened to this program. Let me know. Let others know. Jesus' answer here to just Nicodemus' statement was, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, as almost all other Jews of that day, was looking for an earthly kingdom. He was looking for a kingdom, something to come that would take away the bondage of the Roman government. You see, Nicodemus was a ruler, but not a government ruler, not of the local government. He was a ruler of the church, of the Jews, of the religion, not of the earthly government that you would think of. It wasn't in that response. It was coming from the other side, the religious side. And so you see, he wanted the King of Kings to come. And he wanted him to come with his sword, and he wanted him to destroy the enemy, those enemies that have stood before the God of Israel. And he wanted the king to come and to set his kingdom up. And that's what Nicodemus was looking forward to. Jesus knew the heart of Nicodemus. He knew that he believed that there was a God. And you see, many folks do too. You're sitting in church right now probably, and you believe there's a God. But do you understand that you need to come by faith? You need to be born again, not just have a head knowledge of God, of the Son of God, but you need to realize that you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And in order to have that, you must be born again. Again. Now we're going to look at that just a little bit, but as we look at that, and that born again is born from above. Born from above. Nicodemus was looking for an earthly kingdom. Jesus was telling of a spiritual kingdom. He cannot see the kingdom of God until you're born again. Spiritual. Spiritual. I hope that you see your spiritual need. The wages of sin is death. That's the cost of sin. You need your sin forgiven. So please, trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have your sins forgiven. Be born again. Born from above, as it tells us. Now, Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Nicodemus was not being facetious. Nicodemus had an honest question. "I don't understand, Jesus, what you're saying." And that could be where you're at today. You are not understanding this simple message of being born again. Being born again, the only birth that I'm familiar with is my physical birth, my earthly birth. My mother birthed me. I came into this world. My mother carried me for 9 months, and it was time for me to be born, and I was born. What a wonderful gift God gives when He gives us children. It's a joy. Please, dear parents, don't look upon your children as a problem. Oh, they can be a nuisance sometimes. They can be a problem sometimes. But, oh, please, look on them to be a blessing and bring Jesus into their lives that they may continue to be not only a blessing to you as a parent, but also be a blessing unto God. And they must be born again to do that. Nicodemus didn't understand. He did not understand. He just went back to the only thing he did understand, a physical birth. So Jesus comes back and he says again, Jesus answers, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." The first time it was he cannot see the kingdom of God, and that's what they were looking for, and so for him to say see was something that was very good. But then he found out that it wasn't something, there's going to be another step, only not only to see it, but to enter into it. And he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He cannot see, you cannot enter, unless you're born again. Now here, born of water and born of the Spirit. I have several verses of Scripture that we're going to look at, and that'll probably end the study today. But we're going to look at them and listen very carefully. And please turn there, if you can, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I don't have them written ahead of time. I'm going to look them up here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So let's get that straight. There is no way that you can be saved by your own abilities. You must meet Jesus as your Savior, be born again. That was Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Now, let's go to Titus, back to Titus. If you're familiar with the Scripture, you have 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, then you'll find Titus. So there's five T's there, and Titus is the final one. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." So for you to trust in Jesus, washing of regeneration. That's not talking about baptism. This washing comes by the Word of God. Let's go to John chapter 15, verse 3. John chapter 15, verse 3. John 15, 3. We could go ahead and read the sixth verse of Titus. I hope you haven't turned from there yet. Chapter 3, and continuing, "which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." So you see, it was a work that was done through our Lord and Savior. I didn't want to miss that before we went on to the next. John 15, 3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." The only way you can be made clean is to trust by faith in Jesus Christ. So please trust in Jesus today. Now, I hope you kept your hand. I should have had you hold back the book of Ephesians, because Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26, we just continue to build the case here. I want you to see that this term here, except a man be born of water, is not baptism. It is the Word of God. You must hear the Word of God. If there be not a preacher, if the Word not proclaimed, folks won't be saved. And so please, the Word of God. Husbands, love your wives. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The one I want you to really see is verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. By the Word. You've heard me many times talk about the laver in the tabernacle. You have the brazen altar first, where the sacrifice is offered. Then you have the laver, the washing. My friend, we have to have the washing of the Word. And it begins by first hearing the Word of God. And so please understand that we look back here at John chapter 3, verse 5, except a man be born of water, not baptism, but of the Word of God and of the Spirit. Now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. I think we're going to get through these verses. We may even review them next time. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. By the Word of God. It's not through baptism. Baptism is something you do after you're born again to testify of what has happened in your heart afterwards. But it has nothing to do with salvation itself. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit has got to have its work. And when you go to the Word of God, you listen to the Word of God today that we've been through, as you look to that precious Word and you hear that Word, the Holy Spirit now can come in. You've been called. Now you have to respond. You have to accept the invitation. It's a free gift. Please trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you can enter into the kingdom of God, this spiritual kingdom. There'll be a physical kingdom, an earthly kingdom later, but right now it is a spiritual kingdom. And so please, that you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, being born from above. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born from above, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It has got to be, my friend. You've got to have that personal relationship. Don't miss that. Don't hold on to something. You say, well, I have to be baptized to be saved. I've been taught that all my life. We read back in other verses of Scripture, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, Titus 3, 5, we're not looking about works. There is no works. There is nothing that you can do that can save yourself. And if you're including baptism, that's a work, my friend. So now you're depending once again on yourself. No, God saves you. Baptism is important, very important, but not concerning your salvation. It's something you should do after salvation comes to testify, to be a witness as you should be. And so please, that you tell the Lord Jesus that I trust in you. Call upon him. Ask him into your heart. Trust in him today. Please, you must trust in Jesus Christ. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's your earthly. Some people believe that this is an earthly, and then you need to be born of the, you know, your birth, born of water. That's not true. It's the Word of God, my friend. The Word and the Spirit, and you can come by faith to Jesus and be saved. Please today, call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. You must be born again. You must be born again. Born once, you die twice. Physical birth, physical death, spiritual death, separation from God eternally in hell. the next born twice. Born twice, you'll die once. Just a physical birth. And maybe not that if Jesus comes soon. And he will. My dear friend, what are you doing? What are you going to do about Jesus?